what you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Experience the awakening. Brilliant anonymous researchers. Patriots, join us in the Patriot Army. Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. End won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
Right, we're fighting for God and country right here on the MG Show, and we are here today with another amazing guest. We got Captain Seth Keschel coming in a couple minutes, but first, let me actually introduce my partner in justice, Shady Groove. Shady, welcome.
Thank you very much. Welcome to all of these great Patriots. Welcome to you. Really excited to have Captain Seth Keschel in the hot seat today. We are really coming to a different part of this conversation in America, guys, and I think Seth is going to help us dig in a little deeper so you can have a little bit more understanding about what they're doing and how they're doing it, and the more that they do it, the more that we see. So I'm excited to have Seth here today. I'm excited to be here with this guy, Jeff in the Matrix, and all of you wonderful Patriots. It's Tuesday, and they're all fighting hard out there, Jeff. I see them every day on True Social. They're fighting like crazy.
They really are. And get your dresses on. We're going to have Seth Keschel on in a couple minutes, guys. We are going to go over and cover some election stats, some election stuff that's Keschel. He is the election stats guru, as Donald Trump even said. But we'll be right back after this beautiful boom footage. Mr. Yeti, roll it.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Hello, this is Jeff Peterson from the MG Show. Shady and I are so thankful to our viewers and listeners on the podcast and rumble.com/MG Show live 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. East and Brighteon.tv. If you guys want to help support this show, please help us with the sponsors, MyPillow, Sovereign Advisors, etc. We want to make sure that you understand the best way for you to help our show, because we are not funded by Pfizer. We're funded by you. And this is citizen journalism, independent citizen journalism. This is the best way to support us. This is our mg.show/donate site. This $17 a month one is really awesome. I don't know why I like that number. Then there's also, that's recurring. Then there's also one-time donation, and there are other ways to donate as well. Buy us a coffee and give, send, go. But please, we really need your help to fight this battle every day and bring you content on our website. We've got a new blog too. So get over there. Check out the content that we're delivering to you every day. Thank you, guys. God bless.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. You've made them a huge success, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. Not only that, I'm having the biggest closeout sale ever on our sandals and slides for as low as $19.98. What makes my slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers, or for as low as $19.98, you can get our sandals or slides. Quantities won't last long, and with my 60-day money-back guarantee, you can rest assured they'll be the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own.
And welcome back to the MG Show, where you got Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com. Christmas is coming up. Get over there for big savings and use code MG Show, or call 800-873-0478. MyPillow.com/MG Show is our landing page, or anywhere on MyPillow.com. Use code MG Show and, you know, button up for the holidays. Get some gifts. Or a really cool gift is drinking with Patriots. Drinkingpatriots.us. It's a fun little cocktail book you can give to the host of the party that you go with your Christmas parties, however you do it. Drinkingpatriots.us. Shady Groove, welcome back.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Thank you to Mike Lindell, a great Patriot, supporting Patriot content here. All of you, we wouldn't be here without you, so thank you. Thank you very much. And, you know, all of the people that come join us here at the MG Show, really special to us. So we appreciate the opportunity to be here so that we can help amplify their voices as much as we can. And excited to have Seth in here to talk to us today.
And speaking of Patriots, that's right, we got this.
Voter history and voter registration data by one of the most respected people in that industry. Somebody so respected, military person, Captain Seth Keschel, found over 8 million excess Biden votes. In other words, he had 8 million more votes than he's supposed to have. And his estimate is conservative. He considered it very conservative. And I believe he said he didn't even go to the machines. This is without even looking at the machines. Remember, I'm not the one trying to undermine American democracy.
That's a pretty good intro for Captain Seth Keschel. Come on in here, brother.
Better than I could do. Hey, Seth.
All right, guys. Well, it's good to see your smiling faces again back on the show. And obviously, we've all been busy, head down, pushing into the midterms. But just as soon as you know it, this election cycle never stops. Our media and our country is constantly governed by the election cycles. And if you don't have a typical two-year election, you have some very hot middle-of-the-road elections, too. Your 2021 Virginia and New Jersey governors, you're going to have a governor's race next year in Kentucky. There's really no break. And one of the things that we have to continue to push out there for listeners is that liberty and preserving liberty, elections just is just one thing of that, is that never sleeps. They don't sleep. The enemies of liberty do not sleep. So likewise, we cannot be complacent people either.
So what you're trying to say is, like, we're basically governed on election cycles, right? And so we're having our Thanksgiving dinner and pie and all that stuff. And they did too, right, Seth? They stopped and they didn't continue harvesting ballots or anything like that?
Well, look at this Georgia runoff coming up. That race is on, I think it's on the 6th of December, is it not? And that is that's a week from today. So we're just now coming out of the hibernation period of Thanksgiving, which, of course, is right before the run-up period to Christmas. And the long early voting window, combined with the opportunities for ballot harvesting and all sorts of fraud connected to filthy voter rolls, gives the Democrat incumbent Warnock a very strong advantage over Herschel Walker. Because once again, we're going to try to push our folks out there to vote on Election Day. On the maps on Georgia, Walker's strong in certain areas of Georgia, and he's very weak in others. He's way behind Trump's totals for Cobb and Gwinnett counties in 2020, and he's going to have to do some major damage in those counties to be able to win this race. And he's way behind in his totals from the first leg of this race back in November the 8th. So we have a lot of work to do and not much time to do it. Meanwhile, the Democrats are busy harvesting ballots. Warnock's in the news right now telling people to go vote multiple times in a roundabout way.
So this is Mark Elias, Georgia election official supported by the Republican Party, tried to prevent 70,050 citizens from voting this past Saturday while Republicans didn't get away with it. The fact that they tried should be a national outrage. He's acting like we're trying to suppress votes, but actually they're just trying to protect their election gaming, if you ask me, and that's my opinion. Alleged vote fraud, Mark Elias, lawfare for the vote fraud. That's my words, not Seth. Seth, so what do you think we got to do for Georgia? You know, we just got to get out. What do you think we need to do statistically?
Statistically, I think Walker needs 2.3 million votes, and that is down from Trump's vote total substantially from 2020. I think that number is about 95%. I think I put Walker needing 95% of Trump's vote total from 2020. Now, if you take Georgia's stats from 2020 at face value, they can't be taken at face value. My estimates on Georgia have at least 360,000 fraudulent Biden votes there in 2020. I think Trump won the state by a minimum of 7.5 points, and that's about what the number was like at the end of election night in 2020. So Walker, with 2.3 million votes, should win the race. So I think that Warnock's team is going to be targeting 2.3 million. Warnock is going to need to clean it up in Metro Atlanta. We're talking about the two major counties there, Fulton and DeKalb counties. And as Metro Atlanta has shifted around, a lot of the metro counties there, Fulton and DeKalb, they've branched out. And the older suburban counties, Cobb and Gwinnett, have really become absorbed into what is the heart of Atlanta. It's really not that large of a geographic space. Those counties are very close to one another. So now you have heavily Republican counties outside of Metro Atlanta, Forsyth and Cherokee County, for example. And in 2020, my numbers suggest that they were injecting votes in those counties to make sure the margins for Trump weren't too big. And even with all the cheating in Georgia, Biden only won it by 11,000 plus votes. Mm-hmm. But of course, we had the January 2021 runoffs in which Warnock and Ossoff took their Senate seats. David Perdue lost his. It had Perdue been more on the ball about the November 2020 fraud, he would have had his 50% and avoided a runoff in January of 2021 altogether. So really, Republican inaction is the story that we're on, and that continues to be the problem. It doesn't help that we have so many factional divides within the party. You definitely do have a Kemp faction there in Georgia. That is your Kemp, Pence, Paul Ryan wing of the Republican Party, and then you have the grassroots-aligned America First wing of the party, which is pretty much everything outside of the core eight counties in Metro Atlanta. They're all hard Trump. And of course, Trump did a few percent better with the black vote. The black vote is more than 30% of the vote in Georgia. So Walker needs to chip off some of the black vote in Metro Atlanta. So he should be spending almost all of his time in 10 counties right there in the north central part of the state. The rural vote is going to come out heavy for him.
Do you know if he's doing that? I mean, I haven't really looked at Herschel. Maybe we need to pay more attention. And then the second question is, you know, do we need to vote on Election Day in Atlanta, in Georgia, for Herschel Walker? What are your thoughts on that?
The best practice for anybody is to vote in person on Election Day. Now, I had somebody that was critical of me recently in Fort Worth area. That was the elections administrator, Heider Garcia, who looked up my personal voting history in Harris and Parker counties in Texas and said, hey, this is a guy that always votes early for 10 years. And that is true. It took 2020 for me and everyone else to realize what the purpose of early voting is. And that is to give a long runway for people to harvest ballots and also to take in all the information of Jeff Peterson voted. He's 4 out of 4 Republican voters. So now we can bank a Republican vote here and account for that on the back end on Election Day. So this year, I voted in person in the general. I actually voted early in the primaries this year because I was out of town on Election Day. So, of course, if you can't get there on Election Day, you have no other choice but to vote early. Just like we have patriots that live in Washington State or Colorado, they have no other choice but to cast a mail ballot. That's the system that we live in. But yes, if you can vote on Election Day, go vote on Election Day in the afternoon in person. But the issue with that is if you're sick or if there's rain in one area or in other states, it's hotter than hell or it's freezing cold, you know, then you have issues with that. So we're at a distinct disadvantage given the way the system is currently construed right now. But nevertheless, I think Walker needs 2.3 million votes to have a shot at pulling this off because it should be lower than presidential turnout. But given that it's the only show in town as an election is concerned, then I think that they'll do everything they can to make sure that this is as close to a presidential turnout as you're going to get.
Wow. That's good news. We've got to get out there, guys. I mean, look, this is your state. This is Georgia, guys. If you get Warnock in there, you're going to go full blown communism, Georgia. Get out there, get in, vote on election day. We need to get out there, Georgia. If you're in Georgia, get your friends and your family. It's important. Drive them there. Whatever you need to do. We need to get the vote out in Georgia for Herschel Walker.
Georgia has all the makings of Virginia if this continues. A heavily conservative rural state where the white vote is 2-1 Republican. And then you have a very heavy city vote and you got a heavy black vote, which just overcomes every single time. That is the model, I believe, that the Democrats are looking to employ in Georgia.
And I'm looking around, you know, they can only do it with vote fraud because, you know, the black population are actually waking up to the fraud. You know, it's not gotten better. We've seen people talk highly of Donald J. Trump, you know, that said the Democrats don't do anything for us. They've only just kept us down. And, you know, I think there is a great awakening amongst the black population. And I just pray that they actually see the right side of things and go with Herschel.
Yeah, I think just like the Hispanic vote in Texas, people just want to be talked to like they're Americans, not the salad bowl of this is the black vote, this is the Hispanic vote. The Hispanic vote in Texas, the big Republican Party, not necessarily the state one, the state GOP in Texas has always held their own with the Hispanic vote, 45% is not uncommon, but the national GOP struggled with the Hispanic vote in Texas, and it was because they would come in with all their little focus panels on how to win the Hispanic vote. And Romney would come out and he'd get 30% of it. And then here comes Donald Trump and he's like, borders, education, security, economy. Okay, he spoke to us like we're human beings and we're Americans. And here comes 45-50% of the Hispanic vote. So the same thing is true. You know, black voters are the same way. You're going to go to them, better opportunity. Going to them is key. That's the thing. Like, the Republican Party is expert level at avoiding areas in certain demographics. And they can't even be bothered to look at a political map of the 1980s and understand that in the 1980s, the GOP used to pull 45% or so of the vote in Cook County, Illinois. They would go into places like Philly, and instead of getting beat 85-15, they'd get beat 65-30. And it was a lot different then when the Republicans would actually contest the vote in some of these urban centers. Now, we have the issue of election fraud, which, of course, changes our strategy a lot. So we really don't even know what the actual nature of the electorate looks like in, let's say, New York City. We don't know, right? Because we've been led to believe for 30 years that this demographic votes 90-10 this way. This one goes 2-1 that way. So we just take it at face value. And then when they come in and they start undercutting your own voting demographic, well, suburban women are now going to start shifting this way. That narrative starts to sink in. So then we look at the numbers in suburban Milwaukee. It's like, oh, well, that goes with the narrative that suburban women are leaving the GOP. Of course, these areas are going to flip. It's all narrative. So whatever the media tells you now, everything's governed by the election cycles. And whatever the media starts coming out with now that they've perfected election fraud, that is what you need to look out for. You're only going to surprise them one time. So Trump's gains with the Hispanic community in South Florida are now accounted for. So if they want to target Florida in 2024, the gains with the Hispanic community are going to be known. So the narrative is going to be, well, white voters in the panhandle are no longer supportive of, and you already see it. See all these ministers out there, the Baptists no longer like Trump, which is a load of crap.
Right.
Yeah.
So with the with what happened in Florida, I'd just like to maybe pick your brain real quick, because, you know, from our perspective, what we're kind of looking at, we can see the way the vote actually turned out in Florida. We also know that Ron DeSantis did a number of things to clean up Florida, to not allow the early voting the same way, some stuff with the districting and different things like that. And all of a sudden, the majority of Florida goes red, but the rest of the country still kind of seems like languishing behind the same way it has been. Is that attributed to the cleanup that DeSantis has done in Florida down there, in your opinion?
I think there's a few things. There has been tightening of rules. Ballot harvesting being made a felony was a big deal down there in Florida. Any state that has a heavy reliance on mail-in voting, which Florida has, is going to be susceptible to issues with ballot harvesting. I've always referred to ballot harvesting as the secret sauce for amping up mail vote turnout, especially when you have candidates who can't win, like it nationally, like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, or in Florida, like Charlie Crist, who is a tired old political candidate who used to be a weak rhino Republican. Now, with Florida, Florida went 16 points for Marco Rubio in the U.S. Senate, 19 points for DeSantis at governor, and then 21 points for the Attorney General, Ashley Moody. So Florida was basically our plus 18 in the 2022 midterms, which is incredible. Now, a couple of theories about that. Yes, there's been some tightening of voter rules and regulations, but they still use machines. They still have mail-in voting. I've got guys down there who have proven the corruption in the voter rolls. We have voters registered on fictitious streets in Lake County, Florida, and that's a Republican stronghold. So the other alternative could be that Florida was allowed to run clean in the 2022 midterm, which wouldn't surprise me that Florida's double digits Republican at this point, because my numbers have Trump carrying Florida in 2020 by a minimum of 8 points, and my numbers are very lenient. So if Florida ran clean and went 16, 18, 20 points Republican in 2022, then why is there not a ripple effect in the other working class states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin? Because presidentially, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are tied together. They've moved in the same direction in every single presidential election since 1932. And in 2020, that was the first deviation of that in 88 years, which was another tell that there's significant fraud in the 2020 election. So the biggest interesting thing to me is that Florida went so heavily Republican, indicating nationally that there's probably going to be a massive red wave. And another thing, Guam sent a Republican delegate to the U.S. Congress for the first time in history. That. So you mean to tell me that an all non-white electorate is going to go send a Republican delegate for the first time in history? Florida is going to go 20 points Republican top to bottom. Miami-Dade's going to go 10 points Republican. Palm Beach is going to flip. Broward, 40%+ Republican, and you're going to have the Rust Belt industrial Midwest states and the upper Midwest stay locked on blue. And then, of course, we get out to the Southwest and we have the issues with Nevada and Arizona as well.
Yeah. And so we got Pennsylvania. You just brought Pennsylvania. It looks like Lucerne County is not going to certify the vote. What's your take on that? Those happenings right now?
So I looked into Lucerne County this morning. They have a They have three Democrats and two Republicans, I believe, atop their county commission. And the two Republicans voted not to certify. Two Democrats voted to certify. And there was a third Democrat that withheld his vote. And today he's come out and said that he's satisfied and he's willing to certify the election. It had to do with voters being turned away and equipment issues. I was not aware in Pennsylvania. In fact, there's pretty significant discouragement in PA given the margin between Shapiro and Mastriano up there. I had a call with Tony Shoup's folks in PA, and they're energized and ready to go about things in a different strategy for cleaning out voter rolls. But Luzerne County is one of many counties across the country that realize they have serious issues there, and a lot of people are waking up. Luzerne, in particular, is Pennsylvania's bellwether. Since 1936, whoever carried Luzerne County in a presidential election carried the state, except, of course, Donald Trump won Luzerne and didn't win it in 2020 somehow. Luzerne's an issue, but of course you have Cochise County now holding out in Arizona for the certification, which is another big deal.
Right, and didn't we just have Katie Hobbs, who's Secretary of State, who should have probably recused herself, saying that they're going to sue Cochise County if they don't certify the election? Are they using some bully tactics in Arizona right now? I mean, maybe we not now that we flip over and talk about Arizona. You know, you had yesterday Bill Gates from the county, board there, the election board says this was not a perfect election, but it was safe and secure. We've got, you know, hours and hours and hours of testimony of people saying that there was issues with machines and there was issues with it's just so many issues. So let's talk about Arizona. Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State, threatening to sue with Mark Elias, Cochise County, and Maricopa is coming in. So what's your take on the happenings in Maricopa?
Well, there's absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about whether or not Katie Hobbs should have recused herself from this election. I think that's completely embarrassing that anybody would expect for somebody to preside over their own election. And especially with so many issues present, this is not I can make the statistical case for Arizona presidentially and also in the midterms, and statistics only go so far, but this is a complete miscarriage and misadministration, maladministration of the entire election process. You have half of the machines in Maricopa County on election day are not functioning properly. and we have tons of people that are credible pollsters be willing to swear on a stack of Bibles or put any name you want on an affidavit that the election would have swung the other way had these polls stayed open for a couple more hours. That was the initial initial request for relief, was to open the polls until, I believe, 11 p.m. in Maricopa County, which, of course, was denied. We had tons of people turned away because of the issues with machines. And they knew that the Republican voters were going to show up on election day in droves because they don't trust mail-in voting, and they should not trust mail-in voting. So what happened was the equivalent of a spike strip that was deployed by the Secretary of State and the Democrats in Arizona to make sure that just enough of this Republican vote was going to be tripped up. And what's more about the elections in Arizona, the same exact playbook from 2020 was used against Kari Lake and the rest of the top of the Republican ticket in Arizona in 2022. They absolutely know, the number of votes for the Republican nominee at the top of the ticket by the end of the first day of voting. I guarantee you that. So when Donald Trump came up with an enormous number of votes in Arizona, which is 410,000 more votes than he got in 2016, which is an enormous record, they knew how many he had. But what they did was they called the election for Biden. That's the only difference, is they didn't call it for Hobbs right away. But they had to in 2020 just to make sure the rest of the Electoral College behaved as it needed to. But they knew the total of votes. They knew the total of votes for Trump, just like they knew the total of votes for Kari Lake. And then what they did was they turned the ketchup bottle upside down and they let it drip and drain out as they counted this many votes per day, saying that they lacked the ability to count them all. I don't believe that for a second. And then somehow this 3-1 plus Republican Party turnout advantage on Election Day 2022 putters out into Kari Lake wins the drops, but they're 51-47, 52-46, that kind of stuff. And not in the numbers that she would need to win the election. And even so, that race is within 20,000 votes. And not just hers, but look at the attorney general's race. That is the tightest race of all the four major races in the state. Blake Masters really screwed the Republican ticket by conceding his race.
So, you know, we got, you know, the corrupt Maricopa County supervisors. They voted to unanimously certify a rigged election, essentially. We've got Kari Lake coming out right now. Basically saying that there's, you know, don't give up the fight. She's going to put a lawsuit in, you know, so we still have till, I think, what is it, December 12th? Cause there's still a hand count. There's still some time to actually save this election. You know, what are your thoughts on going forward to try to save this election?
Arizona. So Cochise County has still not certified their results. They had through November the 28th to certify, and they've not done that. Now, of course, you have Mark Elias coming out there saying that he's going to make sure that this county has to account for that in court. Now, we had a couple others yesterday. We had Yavapai County, which is a Republican stronghold, which is just to the north of Maricopa. And then you have Mojave County, which is the far northwest county in Arizona, which is a 75-25 Republican stronghold. And
which
those
guy
two,
was threatened yesterday.
Yeah, Mojave County certified under duress. You know, we'd be charged with felonies and arrested. Unfortunately for them, that is what they signed up to do. So this is why I've been pushing the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, which is the only thing that's really going to steer the ship back to where we're supposed to be as far as the intent of our government. The lesser magistrates, so a county commissioner is a lesser magistrate to a governor, who is a lesser magistrate to a president, who is a lesser magistrate to the Constitution. So, which, of course, we believe came from God, which God is the ultimate. Mm-hmm. So we have this issue with the lesser magistrates, instead of resisting a tyrannical higher magistrate, are buckling under, usually looking for an excuse. The excuse is, well, the law says, or a better one is, we don't have a mechanism to do this. We also didn't have a mechanism. The colonies didn't have a mechanism for leaving the crown either, but they did. Now, there were consequences for that decision. The consequences were the British sent their the most powerful military in the history of the world after the revolutionaries. But likewise, you know, if you're going to be certifying an election under duress because of a penalty against you, I mean, if that commissioner from Mojave County would have been rolled up and arrested, I think that every single patriot in America would have his back over this, because we can't We can't continue to just stamp this stuff on and move on. Arizona, this is the model. Democrats take over a red state. They turn it blue presidentially. And then for a while, usually the state will give you a Republican governor or a Republican U.S. senator. And after about 4 or 6 years, the state starts going blue there. And then when the Democrats get inside the state government, they redraw the boundaries favorably for themselves to take all the House seats in the state. So within a decade or so, the Democrats go from flipping your state presidentially when you can just say, hey, it's just a one election, it's an upset, we'll get it back, to basically controlling the entire state. And when they do that, they open up the voter rolls, they put in motor voter, just like you have there in Oregon, Shady, and then they they get mail-in ballots going. Mail-in ballots started in one single county in Oregon. And then, of course, they have the ballot harvesting gets legalized. Usually they get one big election where they'll put weed on the ballot and everybody will come out and vote more liberal for one election. And that there goes your state. People don't look at this in a long-term scope. We look at it in the short term. But yes, it's absolutely critical that people dig in over Arizona. Arizona is very blatant. You're trying to tell me that we have Katie Hobbs, who's going to campaign from her basement like Joe Biden, who with absolutely very little appeal, very little following, and defeat Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake has more votes than President Trump won the state with in 2016. Wow. I don't believe that for a second.
So here it is. Arizona Secretary of State is suing Cochise County for failing to canvass election results to announce her governorship. And here's the actual lawsuit right here. Katie Hobbs is suing Cochise County in her official capacity as Arizona Secretary of State. I mean, guys, you can't get more corrupt than that.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, too. And, you know, one thing I wanted to maybe toss at Seth real quick is, you know, like I've seen this in many states, man, going back through and looking to the election results day before yesterday, just kind of like itemizing like who voted for. It's unbelievable the discrepancies between Republicans that voted for, say, governor or a House representative or a Senate representative, and the differentiation in the state. I mean, it's like we are not seeing any type of similarities between those different races. We're getting a lot more Republicans in, say, a House race than you're getting in a governor race, and a lot more Democrats that are counted in the governor race here, and then the Senate candidate for Republican wins. That didn't really happen like that whenever I was younger, Seth. Whenever we voted with paper ballot, it would be very, very close to people voting, you know, a House Republican, a Senate Republican, a Senate governor or a governor Republican at the same. And this is happening in many states, man.
So Arizona is interesting because the Secretary of State's race, Mark Fincham, to me, was probably the most important tactical race in the country. Carrie Lake was the most important symbolic race, as in a big-time name, big-time leader that can really unravel the corruption. The one that stuck through was the treasurer's race. That would be Kimberly Yee, who was reelected as treasurer by 12 points on the same ticket that supposedly none of the other Republicans can win on. That one sticks out like a sore thumb. Now, what they're going to say is that's your suburban vote ticket splitters that didn't like. The whole narrative is we don't like, Republicans don't like America First. So, yes, you might have your loud vocal people and Trump might be this popular figure, but your bedrock rank and file suburban Republican voter is no longer on your side. Look, they just rejected Carrie Lake because she's an extremist. Look, she's not an extremist. She wants to issue an invasion declaration on the border on her first day in office. Do you think there's any soccer mom moderate Republicans that don't want the border issue taken care of? That is not an extreme position, that don't want the elections issue taken care of. How is it that 9% of Congress is approved of? So, well, Congress has a 9% approval rating, but they continue to be renominated and reelected. It's absolute nonsense. It's Occam's razor. It's the most obvious conclusion to the problem.
Yep.
So you have the issues there. Now you have the historical stats as well. Midterms, we have this thing called political science, which the media has successfully thrown out the window in the last 48 months or so.
That's true.
And political science for presidential elections is very easy to determine. That's why I feel the 2020 election is extremely easy to talk about. Now, midterms are a bit different. Midterms are governed by who is the president at the time of the midterm. So in 2018, I'm of the belief that the Trump-level election fraud began in 2018, not 2020. The reason we didn't realize it is because Trump wasn't lost in the 2018 midterm. The Republican House majority was lost. But as a consolation prize, the Republicans actually added two Senate seats as a net gain. So the turnout numbers in 2018 are through the roof. My numbers calculate 12 to 21 million too many votes in the 2018 midterms, which knocked out the GOP House, which would have actually been maintained had there not been so much fraud in 2018, and probably cost the Republicans what looked like a 61-seat Senate majority in going into 2019. Now, the 2022 midterms with Joe Biden in the White House, since 1950, when Arizona started to turn into a red state, Truman won the state in 48, last time it was blue until 96, which was the only time it was blue between 1948 and 2020. So Arizona began the turn in mid-century. And with eight midterms with a Democrat president, has elected a Republican governor in seven of them. So the only time they put a blue governor in with a blue president was in 1978 with Bruce Babbitt, who was a popular incumbent governor. So yes, the fact that Katie Hobbs won at all with a blue president, it defies the historical norms as well, especially given how many votes Lake got at the top of the ticket.
That's interesting. And here's the court cases, Democracy Docket. You know, might as well follow the people that are doing the cases. This is Mark Elias's North Fund enabled from the 1530 Fund Democracy Docket and Elias Law Group. So this is the Arizona 22nd State Senate District Election Contest, Bush versus Diaz. You've got Gail Golek versus Maricopa County Board of Supervisors that was filed the other day, decided November 28th. So you got Arizona Alliance. So this, we've seen these guys pop up. This is one of their pop-up funds that they use to sue people, Arizona Alliance for Retired Americans. Hobbs versus Crosby, Carrie Lake for governor for Arizona versus Richer. So there's Hamadeh versus Mays. I mean, there's a lot of action going on right now, lawfare-wise in Maricopa County and Arizona.
That's really what we have to do at this point. The lawfare is a serious problem because we've allowed our courts to become corrupted since the 90s as well. I wrote an article about this on my Substack. The Democrat illusion of controlling the cities in the urban counties, that's only been around for a few decades. Now, they've had their strongholds like Philadelphia, New York City for a long time, but we didn't always associate, well, this is a city, this is full of libs, until the 90s. And that was when the Democrats went all in the urban areas trying to get rid of county commissioners, city councils, put in favorable mayors, put in favorable DAs like we have down in Houston, Texas. And then, of course, the right elections officials to make sure that all that population base counts for something. They really get their oxygen from very, very limited places. They don't have many places they get votes. So they can only cut margins in Republican strongholds, or they can inflate, blow up their numbers. In Arizona, they have two lifelines. They have Maricopa County and Pima County, which is Metro Tucson and surrounding area. Without those places blown up for Democrats, Arizona's R plus double digits. Same thing with Nevada. If they don't get it done in Clark County, they don't have it at all. And even in Oregon, Christine Drazon looked good in the polls and her numbers were okay everywhere. But even during the counting, I realized that they were holding back votes in Multnomah and Washington counties in Oregon. They hold back their votes to make sure that they have enough once the rest of the counties report. So in my 10 points to true election integrity, number 9 is new reporting requirements for transparency, which is really what we're after. The election crisis is a crisis of transparency. That is what it is. Now, it's spurred on by the fact that we lost our great president, President Trump. But the fact is, if we don't have transparency in the elections, we will continue to have this crisis. Because we need to be able to accept election results, even when they're not what we want to see. Because truthfully, if the 2020 election were fair, I would not like the result. But I would be at peace knowing that we can do better, get our people elected with a fair election system, which we don't have. Now, reporting requirements to me would be, you don't have any more of this Philadelphia County can wait to see what 66 counties do and then count votes for 4 days. That's nonsense. Mm-hmm. That's what children do when they're playing board games and they make up new rules to make sure that they win. It's completely un-American.
You know, so now we've got Donald J. Trump made the announcement from Mar-a-Lago that he's running for president in 2024. We've got, it looks like that the Republicans are going to win the House, right? I mean, is that all decided yet? Yeah. I mean, so
yeah, yeah, that, so it looks like we're going to be
winning the House. And so it looks like we're going to be winning the House. And so do you think that we're going to have fair and honest investigations by the Republican heads, like, you know, Jim Jordan and all those folks, about our election transparency? And will that help us to fix what's broken before the run up to 2024?
No, unfortunately, one of my mutant powers is my memory. I remember everything. I remember when the Republicans took over the House with the Tea Party in 2010. I remember when they took over the Senate in 2014. And I remember when we elected Donald Trump in 2016 and he had a Republican majority in both chambers. And they did everything they could to do nothing. The Republican Party does not like to govern from the majority. They like to fundraise from the minority. That's why you see a lot of language about building the wall. Well, you had every opportunity to build the wall either legislatively early in Trump's term or to start using different measures to get the funds that you need for the wall. We somehow have funds for everything else, but we don't have it. We have funds to send to Ukraine by the billions, but we don't have the money to protect our own borders. We're protecting other countries' borders, but not our own. And that is for obviously a purpose. So when I think about the whole, all the panels that the Republican Party wants to put together, all I can think about is Trey Gowdy sitting there sounding good, putting all these good sound bites out there. The equivalent of what our folks online now call a sternly worded letter. So do I have a lot of hope that this is going to happen? It's a very narrow House majority. Really not much of a House majority. My numbers for the House had the Republicans somewhere in the 250s. Based on historical, I thought that the 2022 midterms would look a lot like 1994. At least I thought that in a classroom environment, if the elections were quasi-fair. So I anticipated all in all of my forecasts that this would happen, especially in Arizona and Pennsylvania. So with that said, I mean, it's better than not having the House, but I think the House is a consolation prize, to be truthful. If they wanted to win the House, they would have won the House. I think winning the House for the Republicans this midterm is, hey, what do you mean there's fraud? The GOP took the House. If there was fraud, wouldn't we have stolen the House?
I guess the only difference is we have a lot of... But I guess, you know, the only difference is we have a lot of actually America First candidates going in there. But, you know, your point is well taken. I'm just praying that we, you know, get some sort of investigations. But, you know, obviously, I mean, are they going to go for Biden impeachment? Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, the investigation is Joe Biden with all their business dealings in Ukraine and all that, you know, in China and Iraq and the, you know, 10% for the big guy stuff. But I tell you, it's pretty crazy what's happening. And, you know, we need to fight for our country, Seth. What do you suggest? I know you have the 10 tenets there of, you know, elections integrity. What do you think that we need to do as, you know, American people that love our country, that want America first? What do we need to be doing for the next 2 years?
Some of those decisions have already been made for us. I've always been very clear. You hear a lot of language about we need a new political party. Well, if you or Shady were to go out and create a new political party, then you might cleave off 10,000 people to come join your political party. And you have plenty of examples of that on various states that accept all kinds of different parties. Look at New York State. New York State has several different political parties that get very little of the vote on their side. And of course, they form coalitions. But the only person powerful enough to have created a new political party and immediately turned the Republican Party into the third largest party in the country was Donald Trump. Opted not to do that. He opted not to do that in 2021 after the fallout of the election. And then again, you know, there was a lot of rumbling on the 15th when he made his announcement that he might be forming a new party. And he didn't do that. So if the only person powerful enough to actually make a wave in that direction chose not to do that, then that sets our compass further. Now, likewise, what should we do the next 2 years? Well, Trump said, I'm running for president. So what that means is, whether you like it or not, whether you think the announcement was too early or not, Trump is running for president. And I don't think that necessarily means that he's given up on 2020. Now, he may, you know, not, he may find it to be an uphill climb, given what we already know about courts and their disposition towards resolving election issues. But because he's running in 2024, that means that we have no other option than to get Trump elected in 2024. And we have 270 electoral votes is our goal. I've already run the numbers. I've already got the maps out. I haven't posted anything yet because I don't want to get caught in the crossfire of you're giving up on 2020 or we still have races going on here in the 2022 midterms. But since Trump is running, we have to get him in. And that is going to mean triaging states that not only either can't be won, but would not be allowed to be won. A very good example. I have Washington and Oregon both within 6 points in 2020, not 18 and 19 points. I have them within six. But I do not believe, given that who runs those states and how they administer their elections, that any Trump total of votes would be allowed to win the state in 2024. So what that means is I don't think that the campaign was going to be willing to campaign there anyway. But we have to focus on a path that gives 270. The quickest path to 270 is the 2020 states. Now, the 2020 states that were certified for Trump are now worth 235 electoral votes, not 232, thanks to the changes in the Electoral College. So what that means is if Trump can hold the same states that he got in 2020, which he should, I do consider North Carolina, Texas, and potentially Alaska to be on the radar for a steal, just like Georgia in 2020. But 235 plus Pennsylvania plus Georgia, that's plus 19 and plus 16. That's 270. Mm-hmm. So the states that Trump got in 2020 plus Georgia and Pennsylvania is 270. Now, Pennsylvania is a heavy lift because they've got in there and institutionalized their corruption. But the path to the presidency is going to have to include Georgia. It's going to have to include Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Arizona. We have got to learn some of their tricks. I am not pro-ballot harvesting unless it's legal in a certain state. And I've had some patriots come out and say in Orange County that they've learned how to harvest ballots, and it actually won them some House seats. So I'm interested in learning what they figured out, because personally, I don't know who the hell harvests Republican ballots and or where you get them from, but I guess they figured it out.
Right. It seemed to be a
70 in 2024 is all that matters politically.
And I think, I think that that's a great point. And also in one of our conversations that we had before, you were talking about, like, you know, how some of these candidates just kind of tuck tail and run. They don't stand and fight. They capitulate to the mob. And they, and so what I'm hoping is that we actually get some people. I mean, I know that we got the presidential race in 2024, but there's going to be a whole slew of Senate seats that are going to be up for election in 2 years from now. So I'm really hoping that we can get some momentum out there and some people in the positions and primaried that are willing to fight, because I was disappointed a little bit, like you were, Seth, Pennsylvania, Dixon and Michigan, like these people could have made a little bit. Yeah. They could have made some noise that we would have liked for them to make some noise. And instead they kind of put their head between their legs and went away.
I know some folks on Dixon's campaign in Michigan, and they were texting with me the day of the election and asked if I thought Tudor was going to win. And I actually had put out a map the day before with my governor's picks, and I actually had Michigan shaded red, because in a clean system, in a Biden midterm, I would expect Michigan to produce a Republican governor. Now, my predictions were made with an asterisk. So I told them, no, I don't think she's going to win. And I asked what her position was on all the fraud. I put out so much material about Michigan 2020 election fraud, and she'd never seen it. She'd never taken it on. So it's really easy for a lot of Republicans to run on with irregularities and anomalies without pointing the finger at certain counties and certain people that we know are choking out the transparency of the elections. So no, Tudor Dixon was not properly aligned toward the elections issue. I don't know what her heart is like. I don't know if she's a grassroots patriot or not. I've heard mixed reports. You know, I've heard, you know, where she's from, what her background is like, and who funds her. And then I've heard other stories too, but she did not. She was ill-prepared to fight in the gutter with Gretchen Whitmer, Jocelyn Benson, and Dana Nessel in a state as corrupt as Michigan.
Captain Seth Keschel right here on the MG Show. He's a statistical guru. Say that 10 times fast. And we'll be leaving Brighteon.tv here in a few minutes, but we're going to continue to the top of the hour with Captain Seth Keschel right here on the MG Show. Go to rumble.com/MG Show or tune into your spy device and just say tune in to Red State Talk Radio if you have to go out and about, because we've got another hour after 1:05 when we take a short break at 1. So Seth, this is a very interesting conversation. You know, your predictions, you know, we've been following you for a long time. This is like your seventh or eighth or maybe even more appearance on the MG Show. And we love you right here on the MG Show. Guys, press a random number. Let me see. 17. If you guys love Seth Keschel out there in the audience at rumble.com/MG show. But, you know, what? So, you know, great advice. So we've got a lot to fight for in this country. I mean, Seth, this is dire. I mean, thank you for your service and your father's service and, you know, what you've done with your family in this country. You fought for our rights. You fought for us. And, you know, I just want to see us win, because if we don't, you guys see what's happening over in China?
It's China.
China. Look,
so it's the truth. We have issues. You know, we are very comfortable in America. Almost everybody can go next door and get a Subway sandwich. Almost everybody's got a place to lay their head. So a lot of people don't understand the full fruit of a destroyed political system. And it's happened in almost every major national power there is in the history of the world. I mean, even in the last 100 years in post-World War I Germany, you had a massive inflationary crisis, the Weimar Republic. Of course, you have a lot of issues just in the past 100 years with Russia, the Soviet Union. You've had civil wars in England. We've had them in Spain, all over Europe. So if you think that stuff can't change drastically in America, then you're ignorant of history. We live in an aberration in human history, or a period of relative peace, which is not the norm. We have a massive economy, which we blew up as the world's economic superpower after World War II. Why? Because the rest of the world lay in ruins from back-to-back world wars within 30 years. So America took off without any real competition. And for the last 40 years, our entire lifetime, guys, the last 40 years, our political leaders have created trade deals and structures that have sold out the resources of our country to better other nations at our expense. That's really the ethos of the America First agenda. It's a trade-oriented agenda. So when people try to peg Trump people or America First people as white nationalists and racists, they don't know the first thing they're talking about. Conservative populism and nationalism appeals to working classes of all races and ethnicities. So people need to understand our doctrines. That's why I focus so much on definitions and making people understand what it is that we believe. It is not a race issue about the border. It is an economic issue. If you do not control and police your border, you do not protect the very basic rights of your citizens, and that threatens their economic viability and prosperity. That's a fact, let alone the security threats that are present with it. But a lot of people are too ignorant to understand history and to understand the definitions of the things that we believe, so we can have the conversation with other people. I can't tell you how many times I've sat on an airplane and on a 3-hour flight somewhere and had a conversation with somebody. Well, what do you do? Well, what do I do? Well, I'll pull up statistics and stuff like that. And you won't believe it, but almost every single person, doesn't matter if they're a suburbanite, white collar person, they're like, yeah, the election was pretty messed up. I had no idea it was this bad. So most people are out there floating in the ocean, waiting to be thrown a life preserver, and they feel like nobody else wants to talk about this stuff, but it's because we've become generally illiterate in sharing our belief system on a way that connects with people who don't 100% believe what we do, which is why I'm personally very careful to stay out of drama and infighting. It's not because I don't have an opinion. It's because I think that putting the stuff out there, the media, whenever they come after me, they don't ever want to talk about the work or the numbers. They want to try to find connections and associations. Well, you're a friend of so-and-so. You like so-and-so who once said this. Well, we have people that believe all kinds of stuff. One of the inherent problems of the dissident right is that we tend to have our own brains and our own thoughts. So we don't all agree on everything, and we shouldn't, because the founders didn't agree on everything either. In fact, a lot of them were bitter enemies. I mean, you could have looked at the factions that developed. Thomas Jefferson hated George Washington. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were bitter rivals. Yep. Of course, you have Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, who had a duel in which Hamilton was killed. But the founders didn't agree. Now, a lot of people on our side don't agree either. And disagreement is fine. Disagreement should.
Oh, my gosh. So we're heading out. Hour number one. You want to head over for hour number two?
Hang out with us. Matrix Groove Show.
Sorry,
live on
the
Red State Talk Radio.
Thank you, guys. Right up coming up, hour number two.
In the Matrix with 3X.com.
Hello, this is Jeff Peterson from the MG Show. Shady and I are so thankful to our viewers and listeners on the podcast and rumble.com/MG Show live 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. East and Brighteon.tv. If you guys want to help support this show, please help us with the sponsors, MyPillow, Sovereign Advisors, etc. We want to make sure that you understand the best way for you to help our show, because we are not funded by Pfizer. We're funded by you. And this is citizen journalism, independent citizen journalism. This is the best way to support us. This is our mg.show/donate site. This $17 a month one is really awesome. I don't know why I like that number. Then there's also, that's recurring. Then there's also one-time donation, and there are other ways to donate as well. Buy us a coffee and give, send, go. But please, we really need your help to fight this battle every day and bring you content on our website. We've got a new blog too. So get over there, check out the content that we're delivering to you every day. Thank you guys. God bless.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. You've made them a huge success, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. Not only that, I'm having the biggest closeout sale ever on our sandals and slides for as low as $19.98. What makes my slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers, or for as low as $19.98, you can get our sandals or slides. Quantities won't last long, and with my 60-day money-back guarantee, you can rest assured they'll be the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own.
Welcome back, hour number two, the Matrix Groove Show on Red
RedStateTopRadio.com. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Red State Top Radio.
The system is rigged. They want us to think it'll protect us, but that's a lie. We protect us. We do. Nobody else. Not the companies, not the scientists, not the government, us.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. The big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions, they own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls.
The good news is the elites across the world trust each other more and more. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less. So
the owners of this country don't want that. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant.
I forget everything. I know nothing.
There you go.
And they call themselves elite. But if they're elite, then we're the super elite.
Sure. iDrop Media, we the people are the super elite. Thanks for watching. Support iDrop Media. buymeacoffee.com/iDrop Media. Shady Groove, Seth Keschel, welcome back to hour number two. Thanks for staying over, Seth.
Yeah, Seth, thanks for staying. Sorry about the interruption there, bud.
Oh yeah, well, you know, good break is always a good break, but of course we were right in the middle of some deep philosophical thought about the way things are in this country. And it's an important thing to be spun up on everything. Like look at what you talk about, the research that so many people have done and put into countless hours and days and weeks and months and years of effort to understand the way things are. And really, people have their own period of coming awake to this. I'm 38 now, but I really didn't have all the pieces assembled until I was probably 30 or 31. That's when everything really started to click, that both parties are practically in their goals, their long-term goals are the same, and they offer very little choice. And of course, you had this one disruptor that came in, and the entire political system immediately moved to get rid of him, and they were not successful. And now they're using every ounce of corruption possible in the government to prevent him from coming back, failing to realize that he's replicated himself through people like us and people, mm-hmm. other people in this movement that are continuing to spread this. In long term, we will be successful. And the reason I continue to tell people to press on, despite the results suck. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything. I don't agree with everybody. I'm not here to offer hopium, but I am here to offer optimism. So the results are not what we want. There are a few good candidates that slip through the cracks. In fact, if you really get your magnifying glass out and look deep, there are state-level candidates that got through that I personally know. So I know a 23-year-old candidate from Maine, from a very competitive district, a House district in Maine, very 50-50. And up in New England, what you have Trump types that are your non-college white vote. There's a huge opioid crisis in the Northeast and in New England, which of course draws them. And you have some of the trades that are very pro-Trump. You have a lot of the fishing industry up there. You have a lot of the timber industry. And then you have white liberals, New England white liberals, and they're very secular. So they differ from your standard Heartland conservatives in that they're not driven by their faith to become more conservative. And they're your white libs. So you have that demographic there in this one county. And she ran on backing a personhood amendment to protect the unborn. In a very 50-50 district. I'm talking about, this thing is 50-50. White liberals who are 100% support abortion rights all day long. She ran on a personhood amendment and on election integrity and won. And she won her primary 3-1, and she beat an incumbent who was one of the tougher incumbents in Maine, and she's 23 years old. And she did that by standing her ground and standing for the things that people, we the people, believe in. And go look at Arizona. The first person to quit in Arizona was Blake Masters. And Blake Masters also was the weakest of the four, Fincham, Hamada, and Lake, on election fraud. And, of course, he finished further away than any of them, even in the fraudulent results. And he, so you're never going to regret standing up for the things that you believe in. And long-term, standing for the true things that we believe in as Americans and understanding our founding, understanding what it actually means to be American. Do you even know why we have these individual rights? Because they're not granted from government. If you believe that our freedoms are granted from government, then you also would believe fundamentally that the government has the power to prevent you from being free. That is why we got in the position in the first place in 2020 with the COVID nonsense. And the more you live, the more you learn. I do not automatically back the blue. I back the blue when they follow the Constitution, because we have blue in some of the reddest parts of the country that were locking up moms for taking their kids to the playground during the middle of the COVID issue. So that is not constitutional. But once we understand where our rights come from, our founders believed through many centuries of knowledge gained in Europe that because we're created by God, we have an undying spirit. And because we have an immortal spirit, we are individuals that deserve dignity, and we have dignity. And because we have dignity, we have rights. That's why we believe we're free. And when people fully think about what it means to be American and how we're different than the rest of the world, then they have no other choice but to stand up and pour everything into preserving a free future for the people that we love. That's the only option that there is. I am blessed to have spent a year of my life in Afghanistan. And it caused me a lot of problems. I lost my dad during that year I was there. And even now, like, I like to work with people and I cross lines and I get around a lot of the infighting pretty well. But I don't have a very high tolerance for incompetent people. So I expect people to know their mission and do their job well. And that's it. And put their best into it. Not to never make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But that year in Afghanistan opened my eyes to what we really have in America, where this country, they stone women in Afghanistan. They stone women for learning how to read. Yeah. In America, of course, they plaster right-wing conservatives for being bigots and intolerant people. I've never tried to prevent a woman from learning how to read. I don't know about you guys, but you know, we don't really understand what it is. Sometimes I can't speak for everyone. We don't understand what it is to be American fundamentally. And until you've seen the worst of it, we are living through very bad things right now. We're living through bad times. And all it is going to take is somebody to cross the Rubicon and stand in the gap, which is declaring victory in a fraudulent election before they have a chance to call it in the press and to throw it out there. That's what it's going to take. We're going to have somebody willing to stand up. We're also going to have some grace with people that don't agree with us fully. So a good example, you know, people want to rip apart Carrie Lake for her past. Well, she's been very open about her political past. She was a Republican growing up. She got involved in the mainstream media. She had mixed political views. She supported Barack Obama in 2008 and has owned that. We would not have a base. America First would not have a base if not for the two-time Obama voters in the Midwest that crossed coalitions in 2016 to elect Donald Trump. That is the Trump base. So our country is going to have some grace that, no, we don't have it all figured out. Because when I was in college, I was a hard R Republican. Republican good, Democrat bad. And I voted for John McCain because he's a Republican. I voted for George W. Bush in 2004. I voted for Mitt Romney. So we tried all those options. They didn't work. And of course, you grow up and you learn more. We learn. So we have to understand our doctrine. We have to be unified on the things that we must be unified about. And then there's certain room for disagreement on other issues. You know, I don't spend a lot of time anymore on social issues, even though I have an opinion. I spend all of my energy focusing on exposing obvious corruption, especially in regard to the system of elections. Because truthfully, if we don't have control over the system of elections, all the other things are moot anyway. We don't have any worries about pushing different policies if we don't have clean elections, because they'll just elect the people that are going to push the global agenda. The global agenda is simple.
The video we played kind of outlines that. And the way that we the way that we fix it is with voting, true, clean election, Seth.
Correct. The global agenda is simple. I like to simplify things. The global powers want to push the world under a single global government. And to do that in America, you must whittle away America's uniqueness and its individual rights and liberties. So you have to be gone with the Second Amendment. You have to be gone with the unfettered free speech. And you absolutely have to take control over the system of elections. That's simple, and we must prevent that. So, yes, we can be sad and upset, and we get a lot of black pills out there. What do we do now? I don't have all the answers. All I know is that you got to continue to fight. You got to continue to push that somewhere in the dam, the cracks will come, and we will have a breakout. Because I don't believe the God that I believe in, I don't believe will allow this corruption to continue without being exposed.
And people are waking up every day from, you know, and patriotism has no skin color, folks. If you're an American, you're an American. And I'm with you. And I know a lot of my friends and family that are going, oh, my gosh, Jeff, maybe you were right, and wanting to know more. So just be there for them and have, like Seth said, we need to, you know, have treat them with kid gloves. People were asleep. We were all asleep at one time. We didn't know what we were voting for. We thought the votes were real. You know, I voted for Ron Paul in that McCain election and Romney, you know, all that. I voted for Bush. Oh, my gosh, until I realized that they weren't that good. But you're right. They try to create global problems to try to, you know, make and manifest a global government. I want to be America. You know, this is our country. And God bless you, Seth. Where can people find you, Seth?
You can find me on True Social and Telegram at Real S. Keschel. And my Substack is skeschel.substack.com. I put out a lot of free content on Substack as well. So best three places you can be in touch with me. And I want to encourage everybody to not become passive over Christmas. That is something the left is already at work, not only in Georgia, but in national places for the 2024 election. We cannot be caught sleeping.
I agree with you 100%, Seth. And getting back just for a second to what you just said, I think it's so, so very valuable, the comments that you just made, because I think that what people end up running into is this corner of understanding of civics. At the end of the day, people do not understand where their rights come from, and they don't understand how the country was formed, and they don't understand the grassroots level of getting involved and plugging in and being part of the solution, as you say there. And I would like to, from this moment, just to encourage everybody out there to dig in a little bit about the history of your country. Look in a little bit further on how the process works, because if you're confronted with someone who you're trying to tell something about the election, and then they start asking you questions and you don't really have the answers for them, they're going to kind of tune you out pretty quickly. So just try to, you know, use the time to learn about the country and to be more involved, because the America is, you know, I say it all the time, America is not a team sport. It's about individual liberty. It's not about being on a team. It's not about capitulating to the mob. And unfortunately, people are trapped in this brainwashed groupthink mentality, and we got to break out of that if we're going to actually accomplish what it is that is the mission that I think is a mission from God, which is to keep America intact and set as an example for freedom for the rest of the world going forward.
Well said.
100% correct. We have absolutely nowhere to go but forward with our goals. The toothpaste is out of the tube. Anybody who's already put their name and their face out there, you guys, me, anybody, and that goes for anybody listening to the show. I've never been against people staying anonymous online. But I'm telling you, the moment you step out, like, your toothpaste is out of the tube. So now's the time to figure out what you want to get involved in, because it's going to take personal involvement to fix this issue. It's going to take people sitting in the county commissioners' meetings, going out there and making their voices heard and putting it down range. So there's a very real cost to that now, which is why I'm also very big about promoting a patriot economy. Don't go after everybody that you disagree with and call them grifters because they're self-supported. Because in a free future, we're going to have a patriot economy that supports our people, because we're going to need it. So
yep.
Everybody has a role, and your role, maybe you need to decide today if you're going to be directly involved fixing elections, going after unconstitutional mandates. If you're an attorney, how are you going to stand up and use your credentials? If you're a doctor, what are you going to do differently? What are you going to do when they come for your credentials because you don't agree with the institutions? A great baseball player knows where he's throwing the ball the minute he catches it. but he thought about it. Well, the hitter was at the plate. So you need to know now what you're going to do when they come for your credentials or when they put your name on the front page of the local press and highlight your business because you are a bigot. That is the way these people operate. But there is strength in numbers, and when we all stand up, you know, we can work. And we don't have to like everybody to work with them either. So that's the thing. So there's so many great patriots from one corner of this country to the other. And a lot of times because of the issues and strife, we want to recreate the wheel. We don't have the liberty of doing that because we are absolutely in a historical period of time where we're going to figure it out or we're going to go the way of nations and have to rebuild completely.
Good point.
Amen to that. Very, very well said. Seth Keschel at our Real S. Keschel on Truth Social. Get over there and give him a follow. You now have more followers than me, Captain K. we love you. Thank you for coming on the show.
And
you're a patriot. God bless you. Come back soon, please.
See you guys
let
later.
Us know. Absolutely, brother.
We'll do. All right.
Thank you.
Some wise words from Captain K there, Shady Groove. I can't say that I don't disagree with anything that the gentleman said. What a great conversation with Captain Seth Keschel. Shady, I want to move in to Carrie Lake. She put an update on the fight for Arizona, and I want to play that, and let's absorb that, because this was at 7:41 p.m. Eastern time, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show yesterday, so let's go ahead and check out Carrie Lake, since we're talking about election and statistics and you know, all the fraud and how to fix our country, and this, you know, like, you know, very well said with Seth. I mean, I think you get it too, Shady. We all get it. If we don't fix our election system, we can't fix anything else. I mean, simple.
Yep. It is so simple, man.
It is. I'm sorry.
Nope. You're good. Let's do it.
Right. Here we go.
Arizona, it's Carrie Lake, and I wanted to update you on what's happening in our fight against Arizona's sham elections and those who run them. For starters, I want you to know that I am firmly in this fight with you. Maricopa County just couldn't wait to certify their botched election. The botched election where half of Election Day voting centers were inoperable. The botched election where Election Day printers caused mayhem across the county. The botched election where Arizonans were expected to wait in line 2, 3, 4, even 5 hours simply to exercise their sacred right to vote. Arizonans were told to throw their vote into a drawer where it might ultimately end up in a plastic bin or a trash bag. Maricopa County, where it took 2 weeks to count, is the poster child for broken, botched elections. But if you bring up any of these issues, you are labeled an election denier or a conspiracy theorist. They don't want us talking about our shoddy elections under any circumstances. They shut us down and made us fear exercising our freedom of speech, and they canceled anyone who questioned past elections. Because of that, many Americans did not speak out and nothing was done to shore up elections. And now we are paying the price again. Arizona, America, if we do not stand up and speak up right now about the most dishonest elections in the history of Arizona, I truly fear for our future. Our sacred vote is supposed to be the great equalizer of the people. And right now our vote has been trampled upon. We must work hard right now to save it. This is our last chance. Those of you who are speaking out about what happened on November 8th, those who testified before the corrupt Board of Supervisors, thank you and God bless each of you. I am with you. Here's what I'm busy working on. I'm working with a team of patriotic, talented lawyers on a legal case to challenge the botched elections. My team and I realize how important this case is and what is at stake. We will file this case in accordance with Arizona state law, and you'll want to stay tuned for this one, trust me. So many have expressed concern about Maricopa County's certification. I agree. This botched election should not be certified, especially in Maricopa County, where the Board of Supervisors are well aware of the catastrophic issues caused by maladministration of Supervisor Bill Gates and County Recorder Stephen Richer, who started a dark money PAC with the sole purpose of going after me, my campaign, and our movement while they supervise the election. Let me repeat that. They ran an election with my name on the ballot, and their number one political goal was to see to it that I was not elected. Can you say conflict of interest? Another member of the Board of Supervisors, charged with certifying this botched election, has been chosen to be on Katie Hobbs' transition team. Another conflict of interest. And perhaps the greatest conflict of interest of all, Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, the woman in charge of running her own election, who did almost zero campaigning, oversaw the botched election, is now threatening counties with legal action if they do not crown her governor by certifying the election that she botched. You simply can't make this stuff up. Add to this the Attorney General's letter implying wrongdoing in this election. It would give any honest person, any ethical person, pause to investigate and correct any issues, even after certification. The multiple conflicts of interest,
pause.
The incompetence, the maladministration, the ignorance, and the disrespect of voters is off the charts with those managing and operating our elections. We, the people, will not forget. God will not forget. And I will not quit. I want to ease your mind a bit. My case, our case, moves forward with these sham certifications. In fact, state statute requires certification before our case can move forward. Now, you know how hard I worked on the campaign trail, leading our movement to bring common sense solutions to our problems. I am taking that same work ethic and using it behind the scenes right now, building a strong legal case. While we come together on this unifying issue of restoring honesty to our elections, rest assured, Arizona, nothing will stop me from putting everything I have into reforming elections here in Arizona and in America.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I don't think that we could have a more powerful statement from Carrie Lake. I'm very encouraged about her statement there. Unfortunately, I hate the situation that she's in, but what we are looking at here, everyone, is an unbelievable corrupt system. And Seth said it so well about how do we face it? You know, you can't face it down by running away from it. I saw somebody that made a comment saying that if there's no arrest, I'm not going to participate in any more elections. Guys, that's not the attitude to take. I want you to understand this. Losing is cohesive, okay? Losing is cohesive. We are learning things together in this system. We are learning things whenever these particular states lose. We are learning things whenever they try to cheat, and they do it so overtly out in public on the surface. We deal with so many of these criminal, corrupt issues every single day that your brain and your mind and your body can be awash with it and be overwhelmed with it and think, oh, the easiest thing is to quit. The easiest thing to give up is to give up. I'm telling you right now, that's the furthest thing away from having the American spirit. America first. America first. That message is contagious. Losing is cohesive. America first is contagious. Bring people to that message and realize that fighting for what is right will never do you wrong. And that, I think, is the overarching message that we're trying to show you guys.
And, you know, we love Carrie Lake, and she loves the MG show. Your favorite show on Red State Talk Radio?
The MG show.
Yeah!
My favorite show is the MG show.
Yeah, you gotta love that. Carrie Lake, her favorite show is the MG show right here on Red State Talk Radio, guys. So Arizona, we need to get behind that somehow. You know, we've got, you know, somebody saying, hey, you know, maybe we should take to the streets like they're doing China and Brazil. I don't know how to address that. We just need to make sure that we're on top of everything. We know about these lawsuits. And it's not just, and that's how they do it in darkness, guys, with these lawsuits with bought and paid for judges. I mean, we've got to figure out a way to hold these guys accountable, Shady.
Yeah, and they essentially use it to shut people up. And I think that Carrie Lake is going to be an example that's not going to go quietly. A lot of these other candidates that didn't really have a backbone just kind of bowed out and go away and take their beating. But Carrie Lake isn't going to be that type of a person. And I do encourage you guys, if you're frustrated, in Arizona or whatever, and you know, they are gathering down there at the counting center or wherever it is. There is a bit of a protest going on out there. If you feel like you want to go and be represented, I encourage you to, because that is not only a way to present yourself, but it's also a way to learn stuff, Jeff. You know, you meet new people, you understand new things, you never know what kind of direction it may go. So I encourage as much participation as you're willing to do out there.
That's right. And, you know, today is Giving Tuesday. Thank you very much for your Rumble rants that we've already received. We really appreciate it. We are a Patriot Network not funded by Lucifizer. You know, hopefully we're humbled of all the amazing people that have helped us. mg.show/donate using their MG Show at My Pillow, the Rumble Rants. Thank you very much. We will continue to put everything on the line, you know, but we need your help, Shady Groove.
And you know, one thing that I don't get to mention, because we are sponsored by you, but one thing I would like to mention to our great audience out there is the feedback that we get from the people that come on the show that you support. It is almost every single guest that comes on this show that we encourage you to go help or give a little donation or send them a couple of bucks. Almost all of them come back to us in the background and say thank you. And so that needs to be delivered out to you guys. We really appreciate you showing up for the people that we feel are important, that we bring on the show to have their voices heard. And that is noticed out there, by the way. So thank you for that, too.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, we love you guys so much. So, you know, whatever happens, you know, we are survivors. we are warriors. Don't quit, mm-hmm. guys. Don't quit. Real quick, I wanted to go over to this. Mojave County certifies under duress. Read mm-hmm. John Gerhoff's quote below. Chilling. Lawsuits have already been filed against Cochise County supervisors for refusing to approve today's official canvas. One filed by AZ Alliance for Retired Americans. With 1,200 members in Cochise, you know, this is the one that went after the Dropbox initiative as well, Shady. That's very interesting how this one comes up again. This is, in my opinion, a pop-up fund funded by the 1630 Fund so Mark Elias can use them as people to sue for.
Boom!
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Filed by a corrupt SOS Katie Hobb to force certification. Stay strong, Arizona. This isn't over. And this is breaking. Let me just see this. This is Mojave Desert. Let's listen to this.
I vote aye under duress. I found out today that I have no choice but to vote aye or I'll be arrested and charged with a felony. I don't think that is what our founders had in mind when they used the democratic process to elect our leaders, our form of self-government. And I find that very disheartening. With your vote of four ayes and zero nays, you've approved item 1B. Anything else for the good of the order? We're adjourned. I vote aye.
Wow.
Yep. When have you seen that before? When have you ever seen that in any election theater at all, ever before? You haven't. And, you know, and my thought is, why didn't you go to jail? What in the world is the matter with you? Why in the world would you do that? Why wouldn't you stand up for the people and let them take you to jail? Because then you end up getting people to support you, plugged into the message. Seth even said it earlier today. It's unbelievable to me that how weak the people that we elect are, so weak and feeble-minded. It's kind of disgusting, really.
You know, defeating America first, it's more important for the uniparty. If this guy's a uniparty, he's going to cave, you know, then following law and honoring the will of we the people. That was a fraudulent election. The guy got threatened with a felony to be arrested by Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, who wants her to certify her fraudulent election. What is wrong? Right.
A lot of stuff is wrong with that. A lot.
They don't care who gets hurt as long as they retain their power, guys. That's what you're seeing.
Yep. Perfectly said.
Wow. Wow. And that was a chilling statement by that gentleman. And you're right. Why didn't he stand up, Shady?
I don't know. I mean, he would have had the support of the whole state. Look at the support that God. Look at the support that Catherine and Greg got for standing up.
Yeah.
They got the president to talk about them. They got the president to make a call on their behalf because they were doing the right thing. I would have expected this gentleman to have done the right thing, is all.
Yeah. You know, so we've got, let's see, I'm just trying to see what's happening here. I'm just looking at community notes, and apparently, Shady, we could be going back to Twitter. They're starting to, they're starting to bring back suspended accounts, 60 some odd thousand of them. I think they're starting with the biggest ones first and moving down. I don't know. But I'm hoping to get my Twitter account back, Shady Groove.
I am too. I'm hoping that MG Show becomes a force to reckon with on Twitter again, where we can have a conversation with ACAP again. Jeff, we hadn't talked to him over there in a long time.
I know. It's pretty interesting. Hey, Alex Kaplan, if you're watching. Antonio Sullivan, how are you today?
Don't forget Will Summer. Say hello to Will and Ben Collins.
And watch out, right? Yep, original class. I will say it again. It is the cowardice in elected officials. When is the absurd becoming too much absurd? Absurd. Clag rant over. Thank you, Clag, for the $17 Rumble rant. We do appreciate it on Giving Tuesday. On top of that, thank you. Wow, Shady.
I'm encouraged. I'm not defeated, and I don't want the audience to feel defeated. It's over and over again. We are the solution. The new statement that I came up with the other night, Jeff, was you are the storm you've been waiting for. I'd like for you guys to take that to heart, because it is you. It is your due diligence that gets us out of this, each of us independently working together for a common goal. And Seth, it's 100% right, by the way. We do live in election cycles. 2024 is on like Donkey Kong. We've got to get to it, and we've got to get people in place, not you know, 6 months from now, now.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty interesting. Did you see a little bit of that Timcast thing, Shady Groove, where Ye actually walked out on Timcast because he was trying to control the narrative, in my opinion. At Ye on True Social, I do have a post on True Social. Would love to have you on the show. The MG Show will actually let you speak. And not try to drive a narrative. God bless you, Ye, for what you're doing, my friend. Hats off to you, sir.
Yeah, we also won't put words in your mouth. Come over here and you can sit and say whatever it is you need to say.
Yeah. Let's watch a little bit of this. This is basically, they tried to lock him up. Lincoln Logger, MG Show plus We the People versus the World. $117 Rumble rent. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Giving Tuesday is paying off for us. Thank you so much. Here's Ye. They tried to lock me up.
About, but if you start bringing this up, you're going to ask my opinion on it. I'm going to disagree with you.
I didn't ask your opinion on it. You jumped into it.
But I don't care
about your opinion. I like your opinion on how we win an election, but I don't care about anybody's opinion, bro. I lost. They tried to put me in jail. They blocked $2 billion I had. Like, but I told Farrakhan, I said, look, oh, is it anti-Semitic for me to say his name out loud? Like, I told
the minister.
Yeah, the minister. Like, I told
Obama, which, met with him too.
Oh, he was. Yeah, I mean, the Jewish people allowed Obama to meet with the minister. You know, so Farrakhan said, well, did he have the money? The contract for the next 4 years, if I hadn't done anything, would have been $500 million a year for 4 years. What I was fighting for was the IP so my children could. I'm sorry. Sometimes I think about seven thoughts at one time, because anything I see, I come up with like seven answers to it and then just choose what it is. The thing is, when I said my children, the reason why my brain kind of blocked, because it's like God is saying, you know, your children are going to be okay. Baby mama's got money, right? God is using me. He's breaking me down, removing all of the, you know, richest person, all of this, so I can serve him. And the more and more those things are taken away from me, the more I can be empty and be a vessel and be able to be used. And right now it's like, you're not going to take, you're not going to take my pain away, right? The Jewish people say, it's the Holocaust, this happened, and you can't say anything about it. We can't take their pain away. No one's going to denounce the fact that They tried to lock me up. That's what, because every time I'm just holding stride and it's like, I thought I was more Malcolm X, but I find out I'm more MLK, because as I'm getting hosed down every day by the press and financially, I'm just standing there. And when I found out that they tried to put me in jail, it was like a dog was biting my arm, and I almost shed a tear, almost. But I,
they tried to lock him up, Shady.
Yeah, and I think you have the continuation of that one there.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. You can talk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where this is getting ready to go is kind of crazy. What Tim Cass, I mean, the idea that Kanye decided that he would come in and sit down with him to begin with is, should be considered a blessing by the host. And the host was extraordinarily rude to him whenever, you know, Kanye's trying to tell his story. He's not trying to tell you a history lesson.
Right.
They're getting that mixed up.
That's right. And here we go. This is it.
Who is they, though? We can't say who they is, can we?
Press. I'm not using the. I don't use the word as the way I guess you guys use. I'm talking.
It is
about
them, though, isn't it? I mean, because no. because when you think about it, consider it. In 2018,
what do you mean it's not?
What do I mean? Like, okay, so how about? Are you leaving?
Are you afraid of the press?
See ya.
I'll say it right now. You guys want to bring that stuff up?
And then have think the we're discussion.
Not going to have a conversation?
Like, have the discussion.
Like you think he's going to come in here and say, here's my pain, here's my suffering. I'm going to say, I hear you. And then he's going to say, and it was Jewish people. And I'm going to be like, okay, but don't you consider it? So I'm not going to do this. I refuse.
Make sure he's cool.
All right, go for it.
Yeah. We know what you did. We know what you did there, Tim.
Is that Luke Radowski?
Yep, sure is.
That's Luke Radowski.
Yep, that did Loose Change. Yep, he's part of the podcast there. Has been for a while. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
And he is you know, he's a gatekeeper. Radowski.
Yeah. There he is right there. Wow. Okay, so here he goes. Let me see.
I have to discuss.
Like you think
that was him. Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, it is.
They brought him in there to try to run a narrative on him. They brought him in there to try to get more fodder for the mainstream news. That's what they were attempting to do. And Kanye's like, you know what? Not having any of it. We'll see you later.
Yeah. And, you know, wow. So hopefully we can get back on Twitter. They're trying to actually get us back on Twitter. The 60-some-odd thousand suspended accounts. Hopefully we're in those numbers. Hopefully you're in those numbers. And I just want to play this little bit last night. It was pretty good. It was from Tucker Carlson. Check it out.
United States are censored. That's not compatible with democracy. You can't have censorship in a democracy. A country that censors is not a democracy. Elon Musk, who's not from this country, knows that. He bought Twitter with the aim of stopping censorship and restoring free speech. He just said this. There's been a lot of censorship on Twitter, and we're going to find out what it is. Quote, the Twitter files on free speech suppression soon to be published on Twitter itself. The public deserves to know what really happened. End quote. So why shouldn't we know that? Why shouldn't we know who is shutting down free speech in a country that claims to be a democracy? Well, everybody in power is panicked over this. Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from its app store. So if Twitter no longer can get its app on the app store, there's no more Twitter because you access Twitter through the app. So they're essentially threatening to shut down Twitter. Meanwhile, the White House and the media are trying to convince you that the problem is not China throwing people in concentration camps, suppressing free speech. The problem is Elon Musk, who is trying to restore free speech. He's the evil one. Watch.
It's amazing to watch someone like Elon Musk, who is such a he's such a child. You know, he's so immature. He needs attention all the time. And these guys with these money and this attention and these daddy issues.
I'd say this libertarian nonsense is destructive to American national security. And he has got to reinstitute the same restrictions that were on Twitter before he bought it.
When it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action.
There's something very dangerous about him. He reminds me of a Bond villain. As I said, when the richest guy in the world buys a social media platform, it's just not a good equation. I think he's a dangerous fella.
And that sort of speaks to how he's been governing over at Twitter. Not much transparency into what's going on, just really him ruling by tweet.
So you could deconstruct every single one of those statements. Here's the CIA officer, the guy who lied for a living, telling you we need more censorship. But they're not actually coming out against, quote, hate. What they're saying is, we decide what you can say and what you can't in this democracy. And if you try to speak freely, we'll crush you. It's exactly what they're saying.
It's exactly what they're saying. Line is $17. Elon bought a $44 million crime scene. Nothing can stop what is coming. Very well said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great comment.
I mean, look at the way that they're triggered. Look at what they're saying about him. I mean, this guy's actually an African American. He's literally saying freedom of speech. If freedom of speech dies in America, only tyranny lives. He actually said that, but they don't care. And also another thing that he pointed that out, he's like, isn't it interesting that it's mostly only the media type people that are anti-free speech in America? I thought that was very compelling as well.
And if we don't get our election straightened out, stuff like this happens. Here's the Shanghai police checking your cell phone, Shady. Give me your phone. Look at that.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Then we've got this right here. They're calling them the big whites in Jinan, the white people, you know, or the people in the white suits, the big whites, they're calling them. Look at this. Wow.
It's just amazing that they're standing up. They are really starting to take back parts of China, and they're cordoned off there into these areas. I saw that there are military movements in China this morning, and it's not just Shanghai. It is multiple cities now, from what I'm understanding.
It's funny how you jump ahead.
I love it.
You're right.
Oops.
Let's just keep going down these things. Check it out. Tore down a COVID testing site. Look at this, Shady. So this is a COVID testing site they tore down, right? So then you've got the white paper revolution has spread overseas. This is Tokyo.
午後6時半の近くです。たくさんの若者が集まって大きな声を上げています。手には白い紙、そして花を持っている人もいます。
So I just wanted to show you that the protests are going globally, Shady. And then we've got this. This is the protest in Washington Square Park and NYU. In support of the Chinese people, Shady. Right. So you're right. I mean, they are standing up, Shady Groove, for themselves. Let me just get to the part where it talks about we've got Toronto protests as well. Chinese citizens shout at the CCP. Was the fire in Xinjiang set by foreign forces, too? So that's what he said. Okay. So they're questioning people, Shady. And then I've got some video here real quick showing something about the White House should be supporting the Chinese people, and they 100% are not. I mean,
no, look, they didn't. Here we go.
It's lights out. That's the heroism that you're seeing in the streets. You want to talk about heroism and being motivated? See what's happening.
Absolutely. See what's happening in China, Shady. That is heroism and being motivated. I'm trying to find it. Actually, what you're talking about, Shady, is that there was a Chinese military was spotted. Let me find that, Shady Groove.
Yeah, one thing why he's looking for that I found very interesting, and we actually mentioned it for a second yesterday, but we have a little bit of a premonition type thing that's going on here, because the people that were there that were being recorded in China were, interestingly enough, saying, give me freedom or give me death. And they were saying, give me freedom or give me death. And remember, if you will, last week, right before Thanksgiving, Donald Trump made a Truth Social post that said, give me freedom or give me death, not give me liberty or give me death. Very, very interesting stuff right there for us to see. You know, how did Trump put out what they were going to be saying in China the week before? I mean, you know, I think that we're in a situation here where there's a lot more going on, and people realize, and the communists are the ones that are really scared, Jeff, not the patriots.
Yeah. And so, guys, just so you know, when I go like this, I'm trying to tell Yeti to go full screen on you, Shady, while I'm looking up stuff, because I had to go look for this Shady Groove. And then Yeti's like, oh, you're gonna get yours, pal. All right, so here we go. This is the Chinese military stepping up. Check this out. This is today. It's a pretty scary sight, Jenny Bro. Right there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you and I have been talking about this stuff for a few years now, and kind of like, you know, when are the Chinese people going to stand up? Because at the end of the day, you're talking about however many billion people that are there. If those people decide to stand up, the world will change immediately, because everything on planet Earth is currently made in China. They actually evacuated the Foxconn facility. From what I'm understanding, where they make the iPhones there, they have lost over half the people that escaped from the iPhone manufacturing facility. So they're working at half capacity there. Lots of things in the world are changing, and the norm, if you will, is slowly evolving forward.
That's right. And I want to just thank you again. This is another one. Bruce Badgley, thank you so much. Keep up the good hard fight, boys. Here's something to help. $100 Rumble Rant right here on Giving Tuesday. Thank you so much. I want to also point something out that I kind of saw and thought was very interesting. This is the Balenciaga, which is Latin for do what you want. The motto originates from Satanist Aleister Crowley in his 1904 Book of Magic, wherein he taught that the satanic law part, right? Do what thou wilt, which is 93. And speaking of that, 93 will be on tomorrow. That's queued up. GemComs tomorrow at 7 p.m. East, Shady. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then I want to go over to Alex Stein 99 talking. This is good. Well, good. I just love this guy. I don't know why. Check him out. This is calling out Balenciaga for child exploitation.
This is the Balenciaga store. Look how nice it is. At North Park Mall. This is the nicest stuff. So I gotta ask you, what do you think about the Instagram stuff? Do you think the sexual exploitation of children is artistic?
No.
That's pretty bad. Did you see they deleted all the stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Balenciaga. But that's pretty bad. They did all that. They had those children in there, and then the Supreme Court novel talking about making sexual exploitation okay.
It's a no comment situation.
So are you okay working for a company that does that? Are you ashamed?
I said no comment, and I prefer not to be before.
Wow. So what do you guys think about the exploitation? Do you guys think it's artistic, the sexual exploitation of children? I know, but what do you think about that? You know, you think that's okay? See, these people are cowards. They literally exploit children. They think it's artistic. It's disgusting. This is Balenciaga. They literally have children that they exploit. And they just sit here, no comment. You know, you saw that. Why'd y'all delete the Instagram? They deleted the Instagram because they're disgusting. So this is Balenciaga. If you guys think the sexual exploitation of children is okay, come shop here. Right here. Balenciaga. Right here. Disgusting.
I love that guy, Shady. I don't know why.
The one that he did with AOC was absolutely out of this world, where he talked about her booty, and like she got so she was getting ready to come over there and slap him. Her husband grabbed her, whatever it is.
So this is breaking news as well. My governor, who's going to remain governor, slams CCP Apple for refusing to allow protesters to use AirDrop, calls Apple a vassal of the CCP, blasts them for threatening Twitter on the App Store. Ron DeSantis, governor.
There's reports that Apple is not allowing the protesters to use this AirDrop function where they're trying to communicate. That obviously is providing aid and comfort to the CCP. And so you see that report, and that's very concerning. And then when you also hear reports that Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from the App Store because Elon Musk is actually opening it up for free speech and is restoring a lot of accounts that were unfairly and illegitimately suspended for putting out accurate information about COVID. That's like one of the main things that's being reinstated. So many things these experts were wrong at, and you had people on Twitter that were calling that out. And Twitter, the old regime in Twitter, their response was to try to just suffocate the dissent. And Elon Musk knows that's not a winning formula, and so he's providing free speech. And so if Apple responds to that by nuking them from the App Store, you know, I think that would be a huge, huge mistake. And it would be a really raw exercise of monopolistic power that I think would merit a response from the United States Congress. And so don't be a vassal of the CCP on one hand, and then use your corporate power in the United States on the other to suffocate Americans and try to suppress their right to express themselves. And so I'm glad things are changing at Twitter. And I know there's a lot of work to do with big tech generally, but this is big progress, and we're really happy that that is now happening.
So that's Governor DeSantis at Duval County. I think Trump's plane is bigger. What do you think, Shady?
It is much bigger.
Thank you, Governor, and remain Governor DeSantis. I appreciate you.
Man, I'm glad he's doing a good job, and you guys keep him there in Florida.
That's it. We got to do that. So that's another one. Shady Groove, Seth Keschel, Captain Seth Keschel was on today. Go to mg.show/donate for Giving Tuesday. You got a couple more minutes for some Rumble rants. We appreciate you guys very much for that. Bruce and Lincoln Lager, thank you so much for the big ones. I appreciate that. That helps us out tremendously. More than you know, Shady Groove. 12 Days of MAGA by Bree and Gary. Shady Groove, are you ready?
I'm ready for it. I think the audience couldn't be more ready. I want to thank you again, everybody, for joining us today. I want you to get up, get out, get involved, do something productive for your country. You'll feel better about it tomorrow, and we'll see you here. Much love, everybody.
Here we go.
On the first day of MAGA, the whole world got to see Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the second day of MAGA, the whole world got to see Crook Hillary against Donald Trump, the MAGA king.
Because you'd be in jail.
On the third day of MAGA, the whole world got to see 30,000 emails, acid washed and hammered. We want Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the fourth day of MAGA, the whole world got to see fake news, tears are pouring, dams melting down, patriots celebrating, President Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the fifth day of MAGA, the whole world got to see energy independence, the U.S. strong again, no Paris Accord, a wall going in because of Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the sixth day of MAGA, the whole world got to see Russia, 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 and a fake dossier. False investigation with the FBI, clean as a whistle, came out Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the seventh day of MAGA, the whole world got to see a wild queue appear, full of hints and clues, truths to be discovered. talked about a storm. Where we go one, we will go all. With Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the eighth day of MAGA, the whole world got to see. Perfect call to Ukraine for congratulations. Second investigation, unsuccessful impeachment. Deep state desperate, seeing what can stick. No one could withstand but our Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the ninth day of MAGA, the whole world got to see. A sleepy Joe campaigning from his basement. Kamala, not much better. They can't draw a crowd. Five empty rings. Trump breaking records. Red the coming wave. We're all voting for our great Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the 10th day of MAGA, the whole world got to see. People out to vote, stolen election by 2,000 mules. Rally in D.C., record-breaking crowds. Trump gives people power. He said go home in peace, fake insurrection. Plus he wants to punch winner Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the 11th day of MAGA, the whole world got to see. A bad economy, deadly at the border. Greedy Green New Deal, FBI a no-no. Breaking Mar-a-Lago, gas higher than Hunter. Joe lost his marbles, don't know where he is. The people we cry out, save us Donald Trump, the MAGA king. On the 12th day of MAGA, the whole world got to see. People's eyes wide open, God is on the move. Trump confirmed Q, Roe v. Wade gone. Dems changing sides, deep state in a panic. A soon riding election. Watching dark to light, revealing more each day. Victory in sight, led by Donald Trump, the MAGA king. God bless Donald Trump, the MAGA king.
Merry Christmas, everyone. www.mg.show. God bless Trump.